Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Nice cutback, Singletary. Throws it back for Stroud. Creativity.
Bobby Slowick has this in the playbook. Stroud just gets out there. I'm open. Hit me. And how about Singletary?
I like that laugh. I was laughing on the inside, on the outside, Sunday at NRG Stadium in the Houston Texans press box. Was I perhaps unprofessional over the course of the game? You could make that argument. The Buccaneers reporter in front of me was basically doing the YMCA after every single Baker Mayfield touchdown, though. So I felt that I, too, could show my battle red and deep steel blue spirit while watching that game. And it was a glorious one. So that play was a fun one. C.J. Stroud has surprisingly good mobility, considering it's something he didn't use a lot of in college. And at the very least, I think, over the first couple of weeks, you have to admit, okay, he could do some pretty impressive things out there. I really enjoy it when he extends plays, because there are some, and you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be a disaster. But there are not many quarterbacks who are able to extend plays the way that Stroud does from time to time. It is Mahomes-esque, his ability to just move around behind the line of scrimmage and continue to buy time for his wide receivers. I think we all have to finally admit something. And I know there are some holdouts here, but we all have to admit that C.J. Stroud is good. And we all have to admit right now that C.J. Stroud should have gone first overall. Just those two things. That's it. I'm not asking for a lot more. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I'm not even saying he's the best quarterback in Houston sports history, like some of us did after Deshaun Watson had a couple of nice seasons in a row. Oh, how quickly we forget Warren Moon. But it's easy to forget the Oilers, seeing as they left town. But 470 passing yards in a game is the most ever by a rookie. He's the sixth player ever with 450-plus passing yards, five touchdowns, and zero interceptions in a game. He's going to be the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's going to win a bunch of awards for this week's performance. And just in the second half, because in the first half, there were some frustrating moments. Stroud missed some people deep. There were drop passes. There was a fumble. First half, there's really only one drive that was good. Right before halftime, I don't know what the F the Texans were doing on that drive. Because they had 3 minutes left, and they couldn't even get off a Hail Mary. But the second half, it opens up. 75-yard catch and run by Noah Brown. He goes 15 of 19 in the second half for 313 yards, four touchdowns, and a 158.3 rating. That is perfect. So here's what I want right now from you guys, and we'll let you chime in, 713-780-3776 to call in or to text in. Give me a good argument, or perhaps a joking, like wrong answers only argument, why you don't believe C.J. Stroud is good. That's all we're asking everybody to admit. He's good. Give me a good reason. 713-780-3776 to call or text. You can join twitch.tv/ESPN975. HTX Rhino says, I admit nothing. All caps. Okay. That's a pushback. Now, you're not giving me a why for the pushback, but that certainly is a pushback.
You could just be like, yeah, haven't seen enough. Do it in the playoffs.
Do it against a team that
will make the playoffs.
Resonates nationally. Well, here's the thing. They've played three teams that all have a chance to make it. Somehow the Steelers are above 500. LeBron James loves bringing that up because LeBron knows football. We'll play that later on in garbage time. The Saints in the NFC South. Not a good division.
Yeah. Play a real playoff team.
But that is a playoff team. Yeah. Steelers, theoretically a playoff team. Jaguars, five in a row.
Yeah.
That's the longest winning streak in the NFL. Three of their wins are decent, at the very least. So even that's not a
playoff team that doesn't play in Florida.
There you go.
A non-Florida playoff
team. A team that has an actual national following. And here's the problem, that even if they beat the Bengals on Sunday, that person is still going to have an argument. Oh, the Chiefs, who cares? Yeah. So basically, they'd have to beat either, excuse me, the Bengals. Who cares? They'd have to beat either the Chiefs, Eagles.
Niners,
Cow. Not the Niners anymore, though. They've lost three in a row. That's
true.
That's where you
Brock Purdy sucks.
For that person, the only way that the Texans can impress him, and specifically C.J. Stroud can impress him, is if they play a very select few teams that aren't on the schedule.
Ravens, play them again. Play the Ravens again.
Look what happened week one against the Ravens.
Yeah.
Ravens are looking really good. They've kicked the Lions' ass and the Seahawks' ass in two of the last 3 weeks. Those are two at least decent teams. Playoff teams for the Lions this year, Seahawks last year.
You know what we need? We need the Texans to play the Dolphins. Because the Dolphins, they blow out every bad team and they lose to every good team. That's how we figure out if the Texans are good or not.
Ah, okay.
It's the test we have to run.
But if you beat the Dolphins,
you're
calling the Dolphins frauds. You're calling the Dolphins frauds.
No, but you're a good team though. Because they lose to good teams.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But you're still at the same time saying, but who do they beat? Even though proving that they are a good team by beating the Dolphins is still true.
You're a good team who hasn't beat anyone.
I want people to give me a good argument as to why they don't believe in C.J. Stroud. From the 832, I admit I wanted Bryce, but I'm glad we have Stroud. We deserve him after dealing with Easterby. It's totally fine to admit you wanted Bryce. Bryce is off to a rough start. Could that change? Sure. Right now, Stroud's clearly better. Not even an argument.
Is Bryce getting taller? Is that how it changes?
Bryce threw an interception. Bryce threw two pick sixes to the same guy yesterday on the Colts. Some guy I'd never heard of before.
Oh. Throws a catchable ball.
He does throw a very catchable ball. They were bad interceptions.
Hits him in stride.
The first one in particular was an absolutely horrible interception. From at TXBeerGuy10. On the text line, likely a good thing he wasn't first overall. Less pressure to be good very quickly. I suppose, but I mean, if he's in Carolina, it's the same thing. Like it's a fan base that's in a similar spot where they've been around for a while, and it's hard to, I think, maintain interest when there are alternative options. And that area is much more of a college football area. Charlotte is Clemson hotbed.
Yeah, and the real thing is that because the Panthers had to trade up to get him, they're also going to be down their first-round pick this year, which is going to be like a top-five pick. They're going to be down DJ Moore, and yeah, they're just going to be in a tougher – so you already have less weapons or just as few weapons as C.J. Stroud has, but then less avenues to get them.
It's pretty funny where we've come with C.J. Stroud's weapons, too, now, because this offense is explosive. Because at the beginning of the season, everyone thought this was one of the worst skill groups in the league going into the year. Everyone and their mother. Like, Pierce was the best guy. You were excited about Dell, but you're like, is he going to play? He's tiny. Mm-hmm. Dalton Schultz, the Cowboys just let him walk, and they signed him to a one-year contract. Noah Brown cast off. Robert Woods cast off. Nico Collins hadn't done anything yet. John Metchie never played, hurt again now. That's unfortunate for him. Like, you could look at this receiving core in August and you're like, this sucks. Now all of a sudden we're like, what? Frisky? Huh? That's the CJ Stroud effect because Stroud is good. And you got to admit it.
No, I was just going to say, I still don't look at these Texan receivers and view them as, like, really good.
I don't either.
I still am like, yeah, no, they're just a bunch of guys. But I guess it does speak to CJ Stroud, where it's like, you can give CJ Stroud just a bunch of guys, and he can at least orchestrate a game-winning drive
you know what?
46
that's,
seconds left.
That's the son of a good quarterback. Who was that tight end that Joe Burrow was throwing to last night?
Irv Smith? Oh, Drew Sample.
Drew Sample. Who the heck is that? Didn't he play quarterback in college? I feel like he did. I don't even know. I don't care either. I just know that that's a rando, and that guy's good with Joe Burrow. You saw it with Tom Brady. You saw it with Peyton Manning. There are lots of quarterbacks who make guys around them significantly better than they probably would be in a different situation. That is the good quarterback effect. But I want to hear from you. Do you actually have a good argument as to why C.J. Stroud isn't good? Somebody's got to have it. I want it. Embrace debate. I want to hear from the Zaggers. Get me that Zag. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
The Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. I'm offering a platform to all the zaggers out there, all the people who have different takes, because I want to find somebody who can either do it in a funny way or a serious way. I want to find somebody who can zag on CJ Stroud and say he's not good, especially today. On today, the greatest day of our lives, the greatest day to be a Houston Texan fan in years after yesterday's 39-37 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where CJ Stroud threw for 470 yards, rookie record, 5 touchdowns as well. Here are a couple of texts. One person says, Zag, nothing good happens to us. That is a great point. You know what? That is such a Houston Texans fan mentality, and I totally understand you.
David Mulgeta is still CJ Stroud's agent.
Oh, God. That one, Sean, is very concerning. Here's another one from the text line. And CJ did talk about it. CJ's dad is locked up. He's clearly not about football. How could his son possibly be committed? Okay, well, I get where you're trying to go there. Here's how I would have done it. Oh, CJ Stroud, post-game press conference, is bringing up how the prison system is corrupt. It's wrong. Oh, hey, CJ, it's time to focus on Cincinnati. It's time to focus on Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I'm not saying stick to sports. I'm saying stick to beating Cincinnati.
Yeah, watch him. He was talking about how he's watching videos on with the state of the U.S. prison system. Watch videos on Dax Hill. And is Eli Apple still a Cincinnati Bengal? I don't know. I don't think he is.
It's a good question.
Watch film on the Bengals, all right?
It's right now. It's got to start. It's got to start right now. But, I mean, what he did, really impressive. But before we get to some more of your contributions, I'm glad that we can finally listen to this clip and say, hey, maybe the Texans are creating something like this. D'Amico Ryans was asked about a winning culture that's developing in the Texans locker room.
With the culture, it's about believing in each other. That's one thing I mentioned to our guys pregame before we went out there. Like, everybody just lean on each other, believe in each other, right? And we come back in this locker room, let's make sure we come back with the win, no matter what it takes. And that's what I saw today. I saw a team gritted out when things, of course, they didn't go our way, right? We didn't get stops when we should have got stops, right? We lose our kicker. Like, everything that could have possibly went wrong for us, it went wrong. But it didn't matter because of the mindset of our locker room. Guys who are going to fight for each other, guys who believe in each other, and guys who are going to hold each other accountable. And that's what good culture is.
Hell yeah. Now, what was unfortunate about the Texans talking about winning culture and winning mindset was that they weren't winning these games early. And this is why what happened on Sunday is such a big deal. This is really the first time in Texans history where they won a game like this. It's always the other team who does it against them. So now for a change, Sean, who brought this up, because I was really excited by a lot of CJ Stroud quotes about a winning mentality and winning mindset after they lost a football game.
They're 0-2. They lost 2 football games when you asked him about his winning mentality.
But I asked him about the winning mentality, and he gave a really thoughtful and thought-provoking answer.
Well, he's a thoughtful guy.
He is a thoughtful guy. He's thinking about the criminal justice system. He's thinking about his Lord and Savior, man of faith. And he was thinking about what it's going to take to have that winning culture. And guess what? Even when you doubted, Sean, when you doubted C.J. Stroud, that winning culture, it shone through. And now they all have to believe, because the winning culture actually resulted in a win on Sunday.
What's the record?
The record is 4-4.
Okay.
That's 4 wins, winning culture.
But also 4 losses.
Sure, but it's all
about
the win.
They have a 500 culture right now.
Positive vibes only.
They have a neutral culture.
The vibe's immaculate.
They have a defense that's giving up 37 points to Baker Mayfield and making Bryce Young look like not a complete bust little person.
Bend but don't break. They bend but don't break. They just bend. They bend a lot.
We could have just hired Lincoln Riley if we wanted bend don't break defense.
Bend but don't break. 4 wins. 4 wins. And you don't talk about the losses. Because, Sean, guess how many wins the Texans have in the last week? One.
Yeah. The last 2 weeks, too. They only have one. Last 3 weeks.
Well, hey, we're going to only focus on the 1 week. Because in the last week, they have one win. And a lot of people, they're just haters. You know, Sean Mapes, he's mad about his Dallas Cowboys losing. He's mad about it, man. Another text. Zag, CJ had free reign. They never blitzed a rookie. WTF. Huh. Oh. So they didn't even blitz him. So had they blitzed him? Okay, yeah. We'd actually give CJ Stroud credit for throwing for almost 500 yards. Yeah. I mean, honestly,
all the time in the world back there.
I got to say, it's probably more impressive that he's throwing for that many yards, considering the issues the Texans had when teams were throwing a bunch of guys back in coverage. I mean, the Bucs defense is not very good this season from a pass defense perspective, but pretty crazy that they're dropping a bunch of guys back and he's still picking them apart.
Yeah, but, you know, 500 still. Winning mentality.
From the 747, so we just going to forget about what Deshaun Watson did for the city of Houston? Win a playoff game first, CJ. Well, what things are we talking about with Deshaun Watson, first off?
He did a lot of things to the city of Houston.
Second off, like, congratulations, you beat the Bills in a playoff game, but that game against the Colts is one of the most pathetic playoff performances I've ever seen by a quarterback, I think, is good. And I remember people got mad at me for saying that, because that was when Deshaun Watson was untouchable. And I was a jealous white man described by many for saying that the loss was not on Bill O'Brien, that loss to the Colts. It was 100% on Deshaun Watson, who could not pick up pre-snap blitzes.
And you said he was untouchable. Little did we know that he was very touchable.
He was trying to be touched. He was trying his hardest. Yeah. From the 409, how does Sean not know that Baker was one of the most highly sought-after free agent quarterbacks? He's a freaking stud. So true. So true. So, like, that just happens.
On his fourth team in 5 years?
Yeah.
Might even be 14 in 4 years.
It's his life journey. It's his life journey. They're all scared of him because
a lot of frequent flyer miles.
They're scared of him because of all the commercials. They're not.
The NFL doesn't want commercials now.
The NFL doesn't want a short king to succeed. It's all about that.
Is that Bryce Young's problem too?
That is Bryce Young's problem.
Okay.
Good
to know.
That's what a lot of short kings will say, is the world is keeping them down.
CJ Stroud. Well, they're definitely not keeping him up. CJ Stroud's best attribute is being 6'2".
Yeah, that's true. But also, I think CJ Stroud's unwavering confidence is also a great quality. It's a great trait.
And his winning mentality.
His winning mentality. Well, Sean, here is his winning mentality.
Equal as many losses.
Let's listen to CJ Stroud talk about his winning mentality. You zagger. You effing zagger here. Like, you're doing it seriously. You're doing it seriously. I don't even believe that this is sarcastic.
You said wrong answers only.
Oh, so now you got plausible deniability for that? Here's CJ Stroud talking. Talking about winning mentality, Sean. This is a winning mentality. This is what winners do. They win.
I think it's something that can get us rolling. Like, momentum is everything in this league and in the game of football. So we got to ride this momentum and work really hard in practice this week. And we weren't perfect out there, though. We're never going to be perfect. But we got to clean up some things. Got to run the ball a little better as well. But I think, as you can see, like, man, I don't think we can be stopped when we're on our A game. So it's a big-time win for us, and as you see, like, November and December is when we want to be playing the best ball. So now we just want to upscale, uptrend, and trailblaze into the playoffs and hopefully get a chance to win a division, everything like that. So we got a lot of work to put in, though.
Can't be stopped. Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. But how do we do it proper, Zach? I'm just not seeing him. Well, it's time to introduce an old friend to the show. Now, if you're watching on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, not only have I put on a fat suit and an old sports jacket, but I've also put on a wig that shows that I'm losing my hair. This is like one of those toupee wigs that you would see back in the day. For a long time, I used to just imagine that every single sports talk show host looked like I look right now. Just like a fat, disgusting slob who, at the same time, is trying his best to be presentable, but in a radio way. So he's got the blazer on. He's got a sweater on to hide his figure. He's probably eating in the middle of the segment. He's going to burp all over the microphone. And his hair is going, but it doesn't matter. He's on the radio, and he's making six figures. And that guy, how would he zag here? How would he hot take Harry How would he explain to people that CJ Stroud actually sucks? Well, it's time to hear from Hot Take Harry.
Hot Take Harry here. Plug a lot. My God. Suck up to CJ Stroud some more. He can't. He can't possibly do it. I'm going to say what everyone's afraid to say right now. Oh, wow. CJ Stroud did that against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The league's worst pass defense? Hashtag fraud, because he did it against fraud. Where was this against the Ravens? Fraud. Where was this in the first half against the Colts? Where was this the last three games? Oh, he beat the Saints. What was his completion percentage? It was worse than my 8-year-old, who's going to be a stud, because I've been paying his coaches to make him play quarterback. Where was he against the Falcons? Where was he against the Panthers? Where was this against Michigan? Oh, he had a good game against Georgia. Georgia didn't care. It wasn't an SEC game. Didn't matter to them. And here's CJ Stroud right now, masquerading as a 500-yard passer when he, in reality, is just the quarterback of a sub-500 team. CJ Stroud, is he the worst quarterback in Houston, Texas history? I can't say. But he's no Case Keenum. He's no TJ Yates. Those guys had big moments in big-time spots against big-time teams. And CJ Stroud, I've got to say, this guy is fake. That MF-er is not real. Hot Take Carry out.
This wig is very warm. So is the sweater. So is the fat suit. It's not ideal. But that's how you do it. That's how you do the zag. And I want to know if somebody's going to do the zag today. I want to know if somebody can successfully do a CJ Stroud zag. We'll see if Hot Take Carry makes a return. It's very warm in studio. Gonna have to turn the air conditioning on or something like that. This is gross. The Batman suit was hotter than this. But that's it. That's legitimately it. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in if you want to weigh in on the Texans and the Buccaneers. CJ Stroud's big day. You can. Yeah, we're only Texans. We're like only fans, but only Texans. How about that? Works for another station in town, supposedly. First, I got to tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. Listen, there's only one way that you can get Al Michaels to watch some of these awful football games. And there's only one way to get you to watch a Monday night football game featuring Zach Wilson. It's if you put a little cheddar on it. And tonight, you got a Monday night football game between the New York Jets and Los Angeles Chargers at mybookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. They will match your first deposit up to $1,000. Okay. Put a big amount of money down. Do you really think that the New York Jets can keep pace with Justin Herbert and the Chargers? I feel like they can. But here's the thing. I don't want to touch this actual game. I will touch the over-under. The over-under for this game is 40. That's pretty low. Do you think the Jets can score even 10 points? Do you think Justin Herbert can score more than 30 points against a team that has a good defense like the Jets? This is going to be an ugly-ass game. Take the under. Hammer the under. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975 for that awesome deposit bonus up to $1,000. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
ESPN 97.5. Because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Six defensive backs in there for the Buccaneers. Stroud looking. Deep ball. Hold in. Takedown. 10 seconds to go.
That was the throw of the game. They needed that play to happen. That drive did not start off well because two plays in a row, they had to call timeouts since the ball was thrown over the middle of the field. And they needed a play that was going to give them at least one shot, if not two, to score from inside about the 20. Dell got to the 15, gets both feet down, and you knew there, okay, they should have at least one, if not two shots to win it. And after that, we found out from C.J. Stroud after the game that Bobby Slowick called a play that the Texans had not practiced since training camp. They go back to that play, and if you take a look at the actual highlight, I think it's Noah Brown runs the safety over the middle of the field off. Dell easily slips in behind him for a wide open touchdown. And when Dell was open on Sunday, he was really open. Honestly, two drops that he had, we're talking about Tank Dell almost as much perhaps as we're talking about C.J. Stroud. There were a couple of game moments in this game where he definitely would want to have back. A couple of questions. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Guys, what's the specific problem with the running game? Is it the line? Is it the quality of running backs? Is it the scheme? It's the line. It is the line. The line can't block. Titus Howard is a right tackle. He's playing left guard because of the depth issues that you have. And you kind of have to put him there because of the depth issues that you have. You got Michael Dieter. You're down to, I don't even know what number center we're on now. I really don't even know. Is this four? Is it five? Truly, I have no clue. They have been through so many offensive linemen this year. This is a limitation. And I thought it was interesting to hear D'Amico Ryans say this after the game. I always get triggered when I hear the word establish an identity. I don't understand why you would want to establish an identity, if you will. You want to know what you do well, but the idea that you go into every single game trying to do the exact same thing lends itself to failure from time to time when somebody cooks up something that you're not ready for. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about an identity that the Texans offense theoretically established yesterday.
As we continue to go each game, you know, it changes, right? Whatever we have to do for that game, but we know, you know, we're a pretty good passing offense. When we do get the opportunity, we are executing. We are connecting when we should be connecting. We're a good passing offense. We have a good young quarterback, good core receivers that helps him be good in that. So we just have to rely on whatever strengths we have for that particular week, wherever we need, whoever we need to step up and make plays. That's what matters.
I don't know if the Texans can go multiple identity. I don't know if they can do that. I know that's not a loaded thing to say in 2023. I think there's really only one thing that they can do well offensively, and that the Bucs defense, its weakness, its passing defense, really lent itself to Stroud's big performance yesterday. And we'll see if Stroud can do that against a Cincinnati Bengals defense that was confusing the hell out of Josh Allen. What's the Bengals defensive coordinator's name? Something Arumo?
Luan Arumo.
Luan Arumo. Thank you, Sean Mapes. That guy's a good defensive coordinator, and it might be very difficult for Stroud on Sunday, but you go week to week and you do what you think is going to work best against the other team. Your identity should always be fluid. It should always be changing. It should not just be one thing over and over again. Our best beats your best. Sometimes it doesn't. It's the NFL. That's how the Panthers beat you. That's how a winless team actually gets a game. Like, bleep happens, and sometimes certain teams are better matchups for others, but you can't go into every single game saying, we have to do this. I know some people are going to disagree with me on that. They're forced to have this as an identity. They should be able to do multiple things. That's what is a strength of having a great quarterback, is that you don't have to go about things in one specific way. Like, say for any of those teams that have game manager guys, you have to get a 10-point lead or something like that and sit on it if you want a chance to win. Like, that's what the Patriots need with a win with Mac Jones under center. Anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 975-925, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. I thought this was funny to hear from D'Amico Ryans after the game. He's not entirely wrong, but he is kind of wrong when at the podium he said this guy was the player of the game.
Well, Dare stepping in, he did a really nice job for us, right? When you lose your kicker, right, that's tough. Right, what are you going to do? Your whole game plan, right, changes. But Dare, he stepped up big time for us. For him to be able to kick off as many times as he did, right, create some touchbacks, but also for him, right, to kick the field goal. We were, you know, confident he can make it from there, and he proved us right. So credit to Dare. You know, he's truly, right, the player of the game. For him stepping up the way he did for us, it's outstanding by him.
I heard the bench making fun of this. This is like if Bill Belichick gave Matthew Slater, the gunner for their special teams, the game ball after a win. It is pretty funny to say, C.J. Stroud, who just threw for 470 yards and five touchdowns, which is something that's only been done six times in NFL history. But actually, it's Ogunbowale.
How many times has a running back made a field goal in NFL history?
That's the first time a positional player has made a field goal since Sean Mapes, a game I was at, Wes Welker, in 2004.
Wow.
That was the game where a Dolphins fan threatened to strangle me with my own intestines.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the game. Paul Gallant.
You're at both
there
games.
For history. Wow. Yeah, I was at both games.
Did anyone in the press box threaten to strangle you with your own intestines?
No, but I heard there was actually like some reporter on reporter yelling. I don't know who did it. I just heard people talking about like, oh, it got heated. I was like, whoa. Because I guess somebody was violating the press box rules. And I was thinking to myself, you kind of were violating press box rules yourself, Paul. Now, I didn't do what I normally do, which is go up behind somebody whenever the national anthem is on. And whenever they say gallantly streaming, say, that's my last name. Because it is. It's my last name. And I just like to make people uncomfortable there. Oh, Paul, you should be paying attention. I've been through it before. I know it. It's like going to Catholic church. Like, I know what's happening. For the entire hour at church, I know what's happening during the national anthem. And I like to jazz it up for other people, too. What? I have ADD. Give me a break. We all have our burdens. And, yeah, Dare Ogunbowale is the player of the game. How many times do you think D'Amico Ryans has had to think, am I saying it right? Am I saying it right?
I mean, that's why you just stick with Dare.
Good call.
You just go Dare. Dare this, Dare that.
With Ogunbowale, until today, I thought it was Ogunbowale.
Wow.
I know. I was confusing my B's and my G's. What am I doing? Why am I? How am I in this job? Yeah,
you're confusing the fourth string running back's name?
Yeah. Well, I should get it right. You got to be professional. You got to get the pronunciations right.
You never know when he's going to step up and kick a go-ahead field goal in the fourth quarter of an NFL game.
They had a lot of balls letting him do that. They had a lot of balls.
It was crazy that they let him do that.
I'll be perfectly honest. Like, I don't think they should have, but hey, he made it. He made the kick. I would not have done that. I would have gone for it. I 100% would have gone for it. But they had just gone for it on fourth down in another possession where Stroud threw the ball to Dalton Schultz. They were pretty clutch, pretty money in some of those big situations like that. So there you go. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It is a positive vibes only kind of day. The vibes are immaculate because the Texans, they're 4-4 and they just got a huge win. And C.J. Stroud looks like the guy. And even this person can't ruin my day. You'll hear him next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Cane Powder.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's your host, former Shorecrest Preparatory All-District Safety, Paul Gallant.
Stroud to the end zone. Touchdown! Tank Dell! C.J. Stroud leads a magical drive.
Magical indeed. Shout out to the CBS
E-team?
F-team? On the call. Now, some people argued that when the Buccaneers came out of the tunnel, that they didn't say Buccaneers. That they said a word that starts with F instead of that starts with B. I listened back to it. I didn't hear it. But shout out to them. That was a magical moment. A very magical moment. And today's a very magical day. Today's the greatest day of the rest of your life. But today, also, for the first time in a while, as a Houston Texans fan, one, you don't assume the worst at the end of every game, which you have for the entirety of your existence. Two, Stroud's good. Wow. Paul, what basic takes. Nope, Stroud's good. I'm not even going to go so far as Jer Bear Brandon with the afternoon show. See what Jer Bear said?
No.
Sean, he said that C.J. Stroud is special. Damn.
What? Like, well, like Chris Broussard's.
No. Oh. How dare you?
I was gonna say he has to defend himself.
That was a Chris Broussard joke by you. Okay, well, let's keep our mind highbrowed here, right? No, he is special. He's special. Get it? He's special. It's profound. It's deep. That's how you get 1,000 likes. What? That's how you do it. That's what it did.
I saw another one where there was a headline where it said CJ Stroud's a top 15 quarterback, and Jeremy Brandon was like, top 15? Try top 10.
How about top 1, Jeremy? Because he was the best quarterback in the NFL in week 9 of the NFL season.
And it's what have you done for me lately?
It's a what have you done for me lately, but it's also, Sean, like every day is the best day of your life, and every day is the now is the present. So actually, CJ Stroud right now is the best quarterback in the NFL based off of what he did within the last 24 hours. Got a little bit of time because it's still today. Yeah. Today's today. It's still the present.
Yeah. We just have to hope that Zach Wilson doesn't outshine him on Monday night.
Justin Herbert, I guess, theoretically could.
Theoretically.
But it's a primetime game with Justin Herbert, and he's probably going to get hurt. That seems like how it normally goes for the Chargers.
Yeah, and the Jets make every quarterback's life a living hell as they then maybe beat them. But they definitely make it a living hell. Right? Wasn't that the Robert Saleh thing where you're like, we make every quarterback's hell? But he said it after a loss?
Yes, he did. Robert Saleh, he's an interesting guy. Loves crows.
Not a winning mentality. I'll say that.
No, it's not.
They do. I think they have a better record, don't they? Aren't they 4-3? I think they're 4-3.
They are. God, that's crazy. Hey, I got another Jer Bear Branham tweet, and this can't bring me down. Even though it's bold and it's something I should have thought of myself. Special. Oh, it's throwing S-bombs out there. I don't want to hear any more run-first offense. I don't want to hear any pass-first offense. This is a Stroud-first offense. Damn. What a Stroud boy. Clearly out on Levis, that's for sure. Stroud boy. That is Stroud boy logic.
He's trying to be one of the leaders of the Stroud boys.
We're not allowing him. No, he's not in. We were here already. Nope.
What's
sorry.
The difference? And hopefully I get to ask Jeremy this one day. What's the difference between a pass first offense and a Stroud first offense?
Well, every now and
then. Stroud's not going to run it.
You're wrong. Did you see Devin Singletary's pitch to CJ Stroud? That was a first down.
True.
That was the best running play of the game for the Texans.
I was going to say, I think
it actually was the best running play of the game for the Texans.
And I think that was CJ Stroud's only rush of the game, was it?
It was that and the Aiden Hutchinson speed sweep. Like that's it.
Not Aiden Hutchinson.
Xavier Hutchinson, my bad.
Yeah,
it would be nice if they had Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. It would be nice if the Jaguars had Aiden Hutchinson, too. Whoops. Nice job, guys. You know who can't even ruin my day? Emmanuel Acho's talking at all. Here's Emmanuel Acho getting battle red pants tent mode over what the Houston Texans did at the end of the game.
CJ Stroud is an absolute monster, and credit Bobby Slowick, offensive coordinator, for this genius. Todd Bowles is a cover two dude. You know they're going to be in cover two. Where's the weakness in cover two? You have to hit the whole shot, but you need a quarterback who can throw the whole shot. What does Slowick do? You come out in a condensed formation. That condenses the defense. Now the cornerback's lined up inside the numbers. The safety is right off the hash. The honey hole shot is going to be right around where that logo is, where that NFL logo shield.
What? Okay.
The honey hole shot is going to...
What is that? And by the way, this is another thing that only came to my attention because Jeremy Branham is very active on Twitter. What is that?
I've heard of the hole shot, and he drops the hole shot before that. That's the cover two, like between the safety and the corner shot that you throw.
Wait.
And
wait.
Honey hole.
Wait a second. What is a honey hole?
Well...
Apparently,
look up honey hole football.
Per Charleston Magazine, it's a drink. How to make honey holes? Stir in wine, apples, and a spice bag, and cover. So it sounds like it's a hottie toddy of some sort.
The honey hole shot is going to be right around.
The honey hole whiskey and apple flavors for the cooler months. That's the kind of vibe that you're getting. It's 2 ounce Jack Daniels, an ounce of an apple ginger reduction, an ounce of apple juice, a splash of lemon juice, apple skin twist. For a garnish. Huh. So it's a drink. That's what a honey hole is. So it's a shot of honey hole. That's what Emmanuel Acho is talking about, right?
The honey hole shot is going to be right around where.
Well, it's just a drink, guys. It's just a drink. Emmanuel Acho is just doing this on television. There's children in the cars, probably. There's children watching this on television. Check that. Well, every single television that has these shows on is generally on mute because it's like at a gym after Charmed was just on. And
or in a waiting room or in an airport.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's get to garbage time.
I'm only happy when it's garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Well, guys, LeBron James, he knows football. You might not give him credit for how much he knows about football, but while talking about his Los Angeles Lakers and how I guess they're not really wowing to start off the year, he pulled this football take out of his bag of takes.
I'm sorry?
The early starts have been the same issues, the turnovers and the defensive rebounding. Contributing to, I think you guys have been down double digits all the one game so far in the first quarter.
Yeah, we're like the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. You know what that
means?
No, the Pittsburgh Steelers right now have not outgained or outscored any of their opponents in this season right now, and yet they got a winning record.
Tomlin.
Yeah.
You getting your picks right for tomorrow?
I think I'm Mike Tomlin's lucky charm because every time I pick against him, they win.
Okay. Well, that's going to hurt his credibility when it comes to picking games. But, yeah, you ever heard of that before? Have you ever heard that? I have never heard that, LeBron. So thank you for using football to explain basketball to me. Continuing through garbage time. Why was Caleb Williams crying at the end of that loss to Washington? That was weird, right? Now, I'm not going to go so far as some to say, like, you can't draft Caleb Williams based off of that, but that was strange.
If anything, that's good. It's like, hey, at least
he cares.
At least we know he cares.
Yeah, that is true.
Because I feel like that's what most people are like. What the?
It was very random.
It was second mention for Emmanuel Acho. This segment, Emmanuel Acho, after they lost like their first game of the season, he was like, he should shut it down.
Not a Zach. Those Zagers, man.
They're
great.
Still undefeated in the Pac-12. Now they're not. Now they're
not anymore.
They have two losses in the Pac-12. They're still alive in the Pac-12 title race. But it is funny. We just go, everyone should shut it down. And then that way we can go, they don't care about the game. They shut it down. But then after they don't shut it down, they cry after the game. We go, why are they crying after the game? What a sports media. We got it all covered.
Awful.
We got it all covered.
No one can win.
These college kids can't get anything past us.
Nope. They can't win either.
They could win.
That's true. CJ Stroud, he wins. Caleb Williams.
Just as often as he loses.
Doesn't. There were some people who said the Texans shouldn't draft the quarterback and should wait until Caleb Williams comes out next year. Huh.
I saw someone be like, hot take. I wouldn't trade CJ Stroud for Caleb Williams right now. And everyone in the comments were like, that is not a hot take whatsoever.
It's not a hot take.
What are you
all
talking about?
Yeah, calm down, Dave. Speaking of calm down, I have to calm down because the fight of the century is no longer going to happen. Mark Zuckerberg has torn his ACL. A fight against Elon Musk is not going to happen in the foreseeable future. He did it while grappling and doing jiu-jitsu. That would have been something else. What if Mark Zuckerberg had his ACL torn by Elon Musk? I would have paid for that. I would have paid to watch it.
There's no way these guys don't get hurt if they ever, like, actually have to face off.
I think they would. I definitely
they would.
They'd,
like, I mean, we see, like, everyone always gets hurt in sports, and these guys aren't athletes.
Musk has a big, like, has a effed up back, too.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it would go
like
very
Batman.
Well. Yeah, Batman. Taken down by Bane. Speaking of Bane, how about the Texas Southern tuba guy who, in the middle of a football game over the weekend, got pushed by a fan, punched him, knocked him down, and then went back to playing the correct notes on his tuba in the middle of that song? That is an adrenaline rush.
I know.
punching a guy and playing tuba right afterwards? Hell yeah, brother.
And like you're saying, the guy was in his face, like yelling at him, like pushing him, and he was still playing. Yeah. And then he found a spot where he could deck this guy. Also, tuba, the funniest instrument he could have been playing right there.
Yeah, definitely. But hey, here's the thing. Like, if you're playing the tuba, you're probably a big guy because it's a big instrument.
Yeah.
So, shout out to him. That guy, I don't know what your name is, and I'm not going to say because I don't want to get you. I don't want you to get in any trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I think you're in the right. And that was the coolest moment of the college football weekend. That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant show. How about them Houston Texans? How about them? Houston Texans on a roll going to the Super Bowl. Maybe? Connor and Beard are up next. Big thanks to our texters, twitchers, callers, and Sean Mapes behind the glass. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. Peace!
The honey hole shot is going to be right around where that...
ESPN 97.5 on YouTube. Dog Show.
Women bathing their dogs, you know, in cut-off jeans and T-shirts and with the soap. And you know how it gets all wet and in the water...